Well, guys, I think it's about six, so we can get going. Let me open in prayer, and then I'd like to share what the Lord showed me this past month, and I feel the importance, of this message. I think it's very timely and critical. So let me pray, and then I'll get into it. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy for a bunch of people that never deserved it. Lord, we thank you that you will continue to show us the way and lead us for everything that's ahead of us, and because you go before us and you prosper our way. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son Jesus, and I ask that you would bless this meeting. And speak to the people everything that you want them to understand and hear in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So as usual, at the end of one meeting and when the next meeting is coming, I spend time and I kind of ask the Lord like where he wants to go and like what the next topic is. And I don't really have an agenda at all. And I very much depend upon having the Holy Spirit guide me. And really one of the biggest ways that he guides me is through the word. So like when I read the word, he will actually join in on that word and then show me things in the word. And then from there, he kind of develops a conversation. So I just want to share with where the Lord took me the last couple of weeks. So in my Bible reading, I was done, with the New Testament, and then so I jumped back into the Old Testament, and I started in Genesis, and I'm working my way through Exodus, and the Lord kind of parked me there. And so I want to open by just reading a section that spoke to me loudly out of Exodus 23. It's verses 23 through 33, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Then it reads, "When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I reject them and blot them out, you shall not bow down to their gods or serve them or do after their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break down their pillars and images. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness from your midst. None shall lose their young by miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror before you and will throw into confusion all the people to whom you shall come. And I will make all your foes turn from you in flight. I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate or lack of attention and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and are numerous enough to take possession of the land. I will set your borders from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the wilderness to the River Euphrates, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." I believe we're actually at that point in time right now again. And it really seems like the Lord is saying the same thing to us right now that he spoke to the Israelites. And I think, we're in effect getting ready to like cross our own Jordan And I believe, like we in America, and a bunch of people around the world are in the exact same position. I think we're getting ready to cross into something new that we've never experienced before. It's God designed. God will go before us. He's going to take care of the giants that are before us. We just have to be faithful to march ahead. So it's my sense that we're on the cusp. We're getting ready to cross over. And it feels that way in the natural, not only in the spirit, but in the natural. So then I want to move over to Deuteronomy 9:1-5, because this is the essence of why we're at the Jordan and why we're crossing over. And it starts in verse 1. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you are, cities great and fortified up to the heavens. A people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, who you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Know therefore this day that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a devouring fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you shall dispossess them and make them perish quickly, as the Lord has promised you. Do not say in your mind and heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. Whereas it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. Not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your minds and hearts do you go to possess your land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you, and that he may fulfill the promise which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That all by itself is a real interesting concept. Sometimes, like we give ourselves too much credit, and we think we're, I don't know what the term is, more righteous than another group of people. My sense is that the Lord has had it with the level of evil that is so rampant in our country and across the world right now, and that he's had it. He is now going to do something about it, and he needs us to walk it out here on this earth. Now here's what the one of the things that the Lord showed me. We've all heard it said that the phrase "history repeats itself." Well, it kind of looks like it's happening again. If we go back and we look at Israel, the Israelites were in bondage for 400 years. Then they were freed virtually in one day. After wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, then they crossed over the Jordan. On May 14th, 1948, Israel became a state. So they went through three kind of levels of freedom or liberation. And in modern day, ending in 1948, where they became a state. So if you look at America, regarding the birth of America, the Puritans left England primarily due to religious persecution. At that time, the church and the state were one. And if you decided that you didn't like what the state was telling you relative to God, you were viewed a traitor, and you were tried accordingly. So there was huge persecution in England because of the church and state melding together and that authority that came against people. So the separatists and the Puritans escaped. And you know, they got on two boats, and one of them was the Mayflower, and they came to America. So they broke away from that, but then America in the 1770s was increasingly an unequal and anxious society. Yet it was not a bad economy, but the colonists revolted against England because England taxed them. They insisted upon the colonists not being able to manufacture anything. They were heavily taxed. Everything had to be shipped to England, and then it had to be bought back from England by the colonists. And they were taxed heavily. So it was really the taxation torment that kind of pushed America into the revolution. So, you know, what's interesting, we're kind of at the third leg of that journey right now. And, you know, we had two legs before, but, you know, we as a nation are not only in extreme economic bondage, but we are in bondage in a lot of different areas. And I really feel like the Lord has had enough. He's had enough. And it's not because of our righteousness. It's because, you know, he's done, you know, with the evil, and he's going to go after it. Now, let me say also that the Lord is very long suffering, and it says that in the word. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants none to perish. He wants everyone to come to know Jesus. So yes, he's long suffering. And you know, in the story of you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, it went down to you know, like 10 people, if there were 10 righteous people. And all of Sodom and Gomorrah would have been saved. So the Lord is long suffering, but I think we're coming to almost like an inflection point around the world where things are going to change. I believe we are standing on the banks of the our Jordan right now, getting ready to cross over. There are plenty of fortifications and plenty of giants on the other side that need to be taken down, but the Lord's going to go before us. Now, one of the things that leads me to believe that we're at this point in time on the timeline is Hebrews 12, 26 through 29. Then on Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he has given a promise. Yet once more, I will shake and make tremble not only the earth, but also the starry heavens. Now, this expression, yet once more, indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created, in order that which cannot be shaken may remain and continue. Let us therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship, with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe, for our God is indeed a consuming fire. I believe we're going to see the shaking. And you know, I believe that it's our job to now go in and repossess the land, repossess that which was taken, that which was unrighteously commandeered and steered in the wrong direction. And if you stop and think about, you know, many of the institutions and things today, many of the things are way headed in like the wrong direction and flat out need to be corrected. Now, you know, in the building world, when you have a dilapidated building, you know, on a valuable piece of property, you don't even consider remodeling that building. You take the building down, and you take the building all the way down, you level it, and if you have to, you remove the foundation, and then you start new. So I really believe that the Lord is going to start new in a lot of areas. He needs us. He needs everybody on this call to go forth and do that which he's kind of called you to do. So I think things are going to shake. Now, as Christians, and we kind of watch this stuff, and some of this stuff could be kind of scary. But remember, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. If we hold very securely to the Lord, we're going to be fine. And probably we may witness a shaking, but we won't feel a shaking. And to the degree that somebody is tethered to the world is to the degree that they will feel the shaking. So, but I think it's my sense that there's a leveling that's going to take place, because the Lord wants it. I think he wants it for Jesus. He wants it for Jesus. So when Jesus comes back, it's not a Sodom and Gomorrah. There are masses of people that have fallen in love with Jesus that follow him, and I truly believe the Great Awakening is also coming. Now we've heard that term, the Great Awakening, and most people like associate that with the Great Harvest of Souls, and I do also. But I think there might even be a broader definition of the Great Awakening. If all of a sudden, somebody wakes up and they all of a sudden they see truth that was never present before, and they're like shocked, they're going to fall into the Great Awakening category. And as the Lord sweeps across our country and across the globe, and a lot of giants get knocked down, and a lot of truth comes to the top, there's going to be a lot of people that are really maybe awoken for the first time. So yes, there's going to be a great harvest of souls, but I also think there's going to be like a level of seeing and understanding that was never there before. So, as we, think about this, and as we maybe even witness this, what are our assurances that we will be okay, that come what may, we will be taken care of? So I want to just show you out of the word exactly what the Lord is saying to us, and that truly the Lord goes before us. He is our rear guard, and he will favor us. So I'm going to start in Galatians 3, verses 6 and 7. Thus Abraham believed and adhered to and trusted in and relied on God, and it was reckoned and placed to his account and credited as righteousness. No one understands that it's really the people who live by faith who are true sons of Abraham. So we're sons of Abraham. And then if you go on to verse 9, so then those who are people of faith are blessed and made happy and favored by God as partners in fellowship with a believing and trusting Abraham. And then you skip down to verse 14, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, that's us, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Spirit. That's us. So our chore it is to believe, is to have faith in a powerful God, and not just an awareness of who he is, but actually believe that we have that position. It's one thing to know about something, but it's another thing to actually believe it. And as we believe, we will experience the favor and the protection of the Lord. So, as I was thinking about this, the Lord kind of gave me a concept, and I kind of heard this little phrase, when you don't fully trust the Lord, you have to perform for you. However, when you fully trust in the Lord, He has to perform. He has to perform for you. And so I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to melt this down to something that's very simple. If we put all of our trust in the Lord, He is obligated by His word to take care of us. It's not like, he looks at his calendar, he looks at his watch, and he goes, "Oh, there's a really strong prayer coming up from, Bob. I'm going to give that some serious thought, and in a couple of days I'll render my opinion." That doesn't happen. That absolutely does not happen. The Lord, when we put all of our trust in the Lord, he is obligated to perform for us. He almost doesn't have, I don't know how to say it in words, but my sense is he doesn't have a choice. He has to perfect his word. So if we go to him and we go, your word says, and I'm not going to have it like any other way, I'm just going to believe. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how you're going to protect me. I don't know how you're going to provide for me, but your word says this, and leave it at that. He is actually obligated to perform that word. And if you go to one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, it clearly says it shall come to pass when it talks about his word. It says it shall come to pass. It's not it might come to pass or I'll consider it. It says it shall come to pass. So as a little experiment, if you have something like in your life that is really bugging you, that's a real challenge, just try this. Give the whole thing to the Lord. Absolutely every last piece of it. Do not hold on to anything. Don't even take part of it back and think about it longer before you give it to the Lord. Give him the whole thing, the entire whole thing. Okay? Make it his problem, not yours. And then watch what happens. And I can tell you just about every time I've done that. And the key is actually unloading the last 5%. Now, we want to give things to the Lord, and we like to give him 95, and we like to hold back on the 5 because there's a little bit that we want to tinker with, that we can do a better job than he can, that we need to control the dials. Okay? That's not trusting the Lord. That is not trusting the Lord. That's not the level that he wants, right? And that's not actually the level where you're going to watch things get done. It's 100%. And so I invite you guys to try this. Pick out something in your life that's a challenge. Pick out something that's difficult. It could be a relationship. It could be financial. It could be anything. And give the entire thing to the Lord. Make sure that you empty every last ounce out of you over to him. And in effect, you're going like this. You're giving it to him, and you're going, you're like dusting your hands, and you're going, Lord, I have no idea how you're going to solve this, but it's your problem. And your word says this, and I'm standing on this word. I so believe in who you are and what Jesus did and what your word says, that I'm going to trust this word over this entire set of circumstances. And I mean, in my life, Janet and I have three kids that know of the Lord, but they don't know the Lord. And that weighs heavy on us. And you know, I don't have a lot of solutions, but there's one verse that I stand on consistently. And I kind of do this with the Lord. I give it to the Lord and I go, Lord, your word says the descendants of the righteous shall be delivered. And then I go on to say, you know, I'm not righteous, but because of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus, I stand righteous before the Heavenly Father. And your word says the descendants of the righteous shall be delivered. That's me. That's our kids. I have no idea how you're going to intersect their life and bring them home, but your word says that. So I stand on that. We haven't seen it happen yet, but I'm giving it all to the Lord. I'm kind of making it the Lord's problem. And I just keep standing on that. And I keep like praying for the kids. And someday they're going to come home. So anyway, you know, there's plenty of verses that support the goodness of the Lord. One of my favorite ones is Hebrews 6:12, and I find this verse very interesting in the Amplified. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of the entirety of their personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness, and by practice of patience, endurance, and waiting are now inheriting the promises. That is a very long sentence. That verse probably needed about three more periods to understand it. But it's like so that you don't become sluggards. Look at the people who are 100% depending upon the Lord and leaning on, you know, his or confident in his power, wisdom, and goodness. I mean, if you just think about that, and if you go back to my example, I have no idea how our kids are going to find their way home, but through his power, wisdom, and goodness, they're going to come home someday. And so it also says, and by the practice of patient endurance and waiting are now inheriting the promises. So not everything is, you know, microwave instant results. A lot of things aren't. And, you know, I think it's incumbent on us just to like hang in there. So, one more verse here. Psalm 25 verses 12 to 14. Who are they that live in the holy fear of Yahweh? You will show them the right path to take. Then prosperity and favor will be their portion, and their descendants will inherit the earth. There's a private place reserved for the devoted lovers of Yahweh, where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. And I think I've said this before. There, in my opinion, there is nothing as good as revelation from the Lord. Because when you get that revelation, it's actually the answer. It's the solution. It's the direction. It's I'm kind of driven by, you know, how things work. And so when I get revelation about something, I mean, it's like the best thing in the world. And so when the Lord gives you his revelation on anything, it's just, oh my goodness, you can't like do any better than that. So I think we're really on the leading edge of a major God orchestrated worldwide reformation. And when I was thinking about that worldwide reformation, I was thinking of the ministry's name, a Spirit of God worldwide. And I'm going, oh my goodness. I'm wondering if all this stuff is like all going to like come together And, we're going to see just some unbelievable stuff. And I think this group is going to see some unbelievable stuff. And so I think we're really, on the edge of something that's, going to be pretty unusual and pretty awe-inspiring. So I think what's incumbent upon us right now is that, we were all put on this earth for such a time as this. And I know that's a phrase that gets like overused, but, we're put on this earth during this kind of unique point in time. We weren't here 100 years ago, working the back 40 with a horse and, hoping the crops come up. That we missed that time frame. That's not us. We're here now with all of its challenges because the Lord needs us, and He's designed us a certain way. He's put you in a sphere of influence to now act upon that inside and outside that sphere of influence. And so I think the best thing we can do is ask the Lord what our new assignment is. Ask the Lord, what are the steps you want me to take inside of that assignment? And then fully knowing that the Lord Almighty God goes before us in battle and prospers us in His way. Now, we have to believe that. We as we stand on the edge of the Jordan and look across in the land of the giants, whatever they are, we have to believe that when we go forward, those giants are going to be taken care of. We have to know that in our heart. We have to believe it. We can't, the thing you fear, the thing that somebody fears is really the thing they worship. And so we are to fear the Lord, not anything else. And the Lord will go before us. So, in James, it talks about not being double-minded. We cannot be double-minded about crossing the Jordan, about facing the giants. We have to understand that whatever is going to happen, and however the Lord wants to do this, we're here now because of this time. We're here now because we're chosen to be here, and there's a mission for us. And not only will He protect us, but He will prosper our way. I guess one of my, and I'll kind of close with one of my favorite verses. It's Psalm 17:5 out of the Passion. My steps follow in the tracks of your chariot wheels, always staying in their path, never straying from your way. And if you think about that, boy, if we can stay in the tracks of His chariot wheels and stay, like on that path, come what may, we're going to be fine. The Lord is going to, give us our plan. He's going to show us the way. He's going to prosper us. He's going to protect us. I mean, I'll just close with kind of a personal story. So Janet's on the call, but for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, she's been battling a toothache, and it didn't show up as like a toothache. Originally, it showed up as like, a pain in her jaw, and it was like she thought it was like TMJ, and so went to the dentist. The dentist kind of didn't really give her the proper examination and kind of missed the call. Anyway, she's wandering around with this pain in her jaw. Long story short, went back to the dentist. The dentist said, "Oh, I think you need a root canal." So then Janet, went, got a root canal scheduled. They started the root canal, got halfway through it, and the guy goes, "I can't finish this. You got a cracked tooth." Right. So a terrible, excruciating experience with the root canal thing didn't happen. Didn't go through. So Janet and I were kind of pretty discouraged at that point, and you know, we happened to actually talk to Lori, who you know had some experience in this before. And you know, after we got done talking to her, there was such clarity as to what the right path was. Well, the Lord opened all the doors from that point on. End of the story, Janet was able to find a natural dentist that does things completely different, right? Completely different. All natural. And I can't even describe some of the stuff because I don't even understand a lot of it, but they don't use the standard methodology, and it's healthier and way better for you. So she found this guy, and usually when you find an expert like that, you got to go on the waiting list, and you're like at the bottom of the list, and it takes weeks and even to probably get in and have a consultation. Well, as the Lord had it, somebody canceled this week. And so Janet had a consultation with this high-end natural dentist yesterday, and she got her tooth extracted today. And it was like, a good experience. Now, yes, she's still recovering, and she's like really tired, and she's got to, you know, do some things to, you know, heal. But you know, she got that broken, crappy tooth out that was probably causing her a lot of trouble. And you know, I really feel like the Lord came through. The Lord, I really feel like the Lord came through on that one. And not only did he come through, but in advance of this event, you know, I happened to have something at work, and I received a bonus. So it's almost like the Lord took care of us on every aspect of this thing, right? So put us in, you know, the right hands with the right guy, and we prayed about this. And like now I'm not the one with the toothache, so I probably have the ability to have a little bit more faith than you know anybody who's in pain, okay? Because that's a difficult situation to be in because the pain is staring you in the face. But you know, collectively we prayed about it, and you know, we felt good about this decision. And I can tell you, I feel like the Lord really came through for us on that one. And so when, you know, when things like that happen, your faith just gets built. You just kind of draw on this in the future, and you start collecting some of these things, and you go, you know, as long as I'm under the shadow of the Almighty, there's, you know, there's nothing that I can't face. And so that's that. And I'm not trying to brag about anything. I'm just trying to say, I think that we have to find our way in that position and really trust in the Lord. Because we could be, you know, we could witness shakings and things we've never seen before. And we might be a little frightened. But know ahead of time that the Lord, nothing surprises the Lord. He knows the end from the beginning. We are his children. We are provided for. He'll make a way. And my advice is to take every problem that you can think of and give it to the Lord. Make it his problem. Stop it. Keep it from being your problem. Don't anguish over it. Absolutely give it to him and go, I have no idea how this is going to unfold. I can't see how it will unfold. I think I'm in a dead end, Lord, but it's yours. It's all yours. You got it. I don't have it anymore. And I trust you for the outcome. So, does that make sense? Any other thoughts or comments or testimonies from you guys?
Thanks, Jim. That was good. Jim, could you just repeat one thing? That was a really profound statement that you got from the Lord about trust.
I mean, I know it was from the Lord because it was clever, and it was like, oh my goodness, that makes so much sense. So here's what I heard him say. When you don't fully trust the Lord, you have to perform for you. Whenever you fully trust in the Lord, I have to perform for you. So it's like I felt like the Lord was saying, when you trust him, he does not have a choice to not follow through for you.
Amen.
I mean, when you put the shoe on the other foot and you think about it that way and you go, oh, wow. That kind of makes sense. I mean, the Lord doesn't have a board of directors and deliberate on what prayer they're going to answer and what prayer they're not. That it doesn't happen that way. So, and I know I from personal experience, everything that I have insisted upon holding on to and wrestling to the ground because I could do it quicker, faster, better than anything that the Lord
Whoa.
could do, it always took longer and it usually didn't come out very well. It definitely took longer. I mean, I felt like the Lord was going, well, yeah, you can do that. If you want to do that, go ahead. Yeah, enjoy yourself.
Amen.
So yeah, I'm done with the school of hard knocks. I'm kind of done with it, I want to do it the easy way.
I got something, Jim.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, the thing I like about what David says in Psalm 27, and he's the king, he's got everything he needs. But he says in verse 4 and 5, he goes, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me when troubles come. He will hide me in a sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock." So, to me, that's like a real priority because I want to be living in his peace regardless of the shaking. And I've been going through some shaking in my life, and I'm coming to find that he's providing. He's going to take care of it, even though I don't see the end of the outcome, like you're saying. I don't know how he's going to do it. I'm going to, develop my trust in him by turning it completely over, making it a daily exercise to be with him, meditating in his temple. I will get through this thing. I intend on getting, and the next thing, and the next thing, whatever it may be. Because I'm here, I'm 73, I've gotten this far. Why would he
That John, that's a super good point. That is like a super good point. If we were to take time and reflect back on our life and our path and what we've been through and how we got through it all and how we're here today. I mean, we go, oh my goodness, you really took care of me even before I even knew you. So I mean, I'm going to invite everybody on this call to try to find a problem, try to find a challenge that is insurmountable, that you don't have a solution for. And absolutely, your job is to 100% offload it. So, you are the truck, you pulled up to the truck dock, the rear door opens. Your job is to get everything out of the back of that truck and into that warehouse. And nothing stays on the back of that truck. And then watch what happens. And you know, for me, that was easier said than done. It's becoming easier of late, but I was an expert in holding on to the last 2%, and there was always something that, now remember, I'm a builder, okay? I plan, I carefully plan pieces and how they go together, and you know what you better not do, and you better do it this way so the building stands up, and so you're always like calculating. Well, you know, a lot of calculation really kind of destroys faith. And so I had to really like stop the calculating and start going, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I trust you. And you know, I know I've told this story before, but I'll tell you what, I never forgot it. When I was out on that job site and things were falling apart, and I didn't have a way to keep building those 12 houses on that street, and I thought for sure they were going to fire me. And I mean, I can still remember, I still remember the day where I was reading the Bible on the job site, holding the Bible, like pointing to Psalm 55, verse 22, and like talking to the Lord and pointing to the verse. And then I remember saying out loud to the Lord, like in the middle of the street, in the middle of the job site, I go, "You mean to tell me that if I trust you for like everything, all this stuff will go away?" And like I go, "You're on." I go, "You're on." And I had no idea how the Lord was going to do it, but 24 hours he did it, and things started falling together. Because I absolutely did not have a plan B. There was no plan B. I was like going to be fired, and I actually told the Lord that. I go, "I think they're going to fire me, you know?" And so I said to the Lord, I said, "So I'm going to trust you for everything, and if it doesn't work, it's like no big deal. They're going to fire me anyway." So I absolutely had no plan B. I had no plan B, and I'm telling you, the Lord, 24 hours later, hit every one of my buttons. He did everything right. It was like shocking. It was so shocking. I carry that story with me, you know, 15 years later. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Hey Jim, would you say that the stuff God did within that, would you say the stuff God did within that 24 hours was impossible in the
Oh,
natural?
absolutely. 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 I mean, one of the most impossible things was nobody was talking to me. I couldn't get subcontractors to listen to me, talk to me. They wouldn't answer my phone call. They didn't pay attention to the schedule. I had to practically tackle them out on the street to get their attention. And then 24 hours later, they're coming up to me playing the schedule. "I got this done. What do you want me to do next?" That's impossible. I had a final inspection on a home. The inspector's walking up the driveway to do the final inspection of the home, and there's an open trench from the home to the street because there was a break in the sewer line, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, not only is this the guy not going to give me the CO, but he's going to chew me out in the process because I didn't call him and tell him not to come out and inspect this home because it wasn't ready." He goes into the house. 20 minutes later, he comes out, hands me the CO, and says, "Have a good day." And I go, "Oh my goodness, this stuff works." I was shocked, shocked. I remember that story like it was yesterday. So, you know, this is how the Lord's taught me. He's taught me through lessons, and the lessons he's taught me, I needed to learn. But I'll tell you, the Lord's faithful. He is so faithful.
That's wonderful.
So, anybody else? So, I want to pray that the Lord shows you what your assignment is, and that you accept your assignment, and then you like boldly go into that assignment, knowing that He's the source, He's the provider, He's going to knock all the giants down, He's going to prosper your way. And I know that for each one of you, the Lord is probably talking to you about something, some direction, some avenue, something to do, something that's probably bigger than you. And you kind of like been pushing it off the side and dismissing it, and you can't figure out how it'll ever work, so you just didn't give it much time. But I'm gonna ask the Lord to bring that back to you, and then I'm gonna ask the Lord to show you what the next step is. And then I think our job is to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And let Him show you how this is all going to work out. So, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, I thank you for these faithful people that trust in you dearly. And Lord, we all have challenges in life. We all have things that come before us. And many things that come before us, we just can't figure out how they're going to get done and how the solution is going to unfold. And Lord, I know I've had many of those in my life. And Lord, I'm certain there are people on this call that are challenged by one thing or another right now. But Lord, I'm asking you to please show each person on this call the assignment that you're calling them into right now. And Lord, show them the first or the next step that needs to take place. And Lord, I love it when you demonstrate who you are, because when you do that, like our faith just kind of grows, and it stays, and we believe, Lord. So Heavenly Father, I would like to see a demonstration in everybody's life for the assignment and the challenge that you've given them, that it's before them right now. And Lord, may this only be lesson one. Lord, take us deep and far, where you want us to go. Let us not be limited by how we view things, but how let us view things how you view things. And where you want to take us, and what you want to do with us, and what you want to accomplish through us. Lord, let us see that. Let us see your magnificence, your majesty, your power, your grace, your mercy. And let us not fall back on our means and methods and like who we are. Lord, we're nothing but clay vessels, and we need you. We need you now more than ever. So as we stand on the edge of the Jordan River and we look across and we see these fortifications and these big people, Lord, give us our assignment. Show us what you want us to do. Give us that first step. And we'll just praise you and worship you all the days of our life. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, end of 24, we're entering into 2025. I'm kind of excited on what the Lord's going to do. He's got a lot to fix. There's no shortage of work to be done, so I think that's where we come in. But I'm anxious to see what the Lord's going to do, because I believe He's going to change a bunch of stuff, and I know He needs you. I know He's going to use you. So. Give him your stuff and watch him work, and let's come back in January and talk about how good he is.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah,
All
thank
right.
you, Jim. That was
Thank
awesome.
you.
All right.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
Good night. Good night. God
See ya.
bless.
Thank you.
See ya.